Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
So, very important to see that these are the tools, these are the gifted individuals that God is going to use to bless his people. And here's the thing, as we said, if you're going to be ministered to, right, by, you know, apostles with a little A, you know, people who go out and start churches, the testimony of the 12, the foundation of our faith in Christ, the historical reality of Jesus, you're going to be ministered to in that way, say, by prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you got to show up. 90% of success in the Christian life is showing up. You got to be where God's people are, because guess what? Not only are there gifted individuals that want to build into you, but here's a radical thought. God wants you to become a gifted individual who can build into other people. Notice this whole thing about pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth. It's there for a reason. Verse 12 tells us the reason. Why do we have these gifted individuals in the church? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice these gifted individuals who are here to build into the lives of individuals. They're for a purpose, for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints. You know, I think probably one of the most effective spiritual strategies that Satan has used to the detriment of the church is convincing the average Christian that Christianity is a spectator sport. In other words, my job as a Christian is to sit in a pew and watch somebody else be excited about Jesus. You know, watch somebody else be excited about the Word. You know, and I'll sit there and, you know, if I can get through and not pass out at the end of the day on a Wednesday, I've done my thing. No, that's not what Christianity is all about. It's about equipping the saints. Now, the word equipping here is a really interesting word in the original language. It is a word in the original sense that was used to describe one of two things, either mending broken nets by fishermen or the mending, the setting of broken bones, believe it or not. You think of equipping the saints, saying, oh, yeah, you got to go to seminary, you got to get online, you got to take this course and that course and the other. No, the equipping that we are talking about here is the idea of, first of all, coming alongside people whose maybe faith is, quite frankly, full of holes. It has you know, gaps in it, gaping holes in it that make a person ineffective. I don't know how many of you are fans of that show, The Deadliest Catch. You know, I watch that show and I'm just stunned that these people actually do what they do to make a living. These Alaskan crab fishermen. But one of the things you learn, you watch Deadliest Catch for many times, you learn a little bit about crab pots. I mean, there are these 800-pound contraptions that have nets on them. And a big part of it is you got to bait these things and you got to drop these crab pots where you think the crab are, and it's a real risky kind of a deal. But you can have, you know, the crab pot, you can have it baited, you can have, you know, on target for catching crab. But if that net has holes in it, the crab are going to come in and have a meal, and they're going to run right out. Well, sometimes I think we as believers in Christ need to be very careful. We have holes that need to be mended in terms of our faith. You know, and if you don't think that applies to you, well, here's a news flash for you. You got blind spots, I got blind spots. All God's children got blind spots. Every one of us have places where we're a little lacking in being complete. It's holiness kind of in a negative sense. We've got a few holes that need to be mended. How about mending a broken bone or setting a leg that needs setting? Well, once again, this is a reminder to us that God always uses imperfect people. In order for us to be used by God to help somebody else, we first need to be helped. Now, notice this equipping of the saints in verse 14 has a purpose for the work of ministry. In other words, you're in the church because God wants to use you to change the lives of others. I could never do that sort of thing. I'm completely ill-equipped to do something like that. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. Maybe God has equipped you down through time in ways that you don't really understand. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see what equipping the saints, what the work of the ministry is really all about. The Apostle Paul at the beginning of this letter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who so wonderfully comforts us who are in any affliction, that we might comfort others with the same comfort whereby we are comforted by God." Now, I don't know about you, there's a lot of comfort in that passage, right? But it's comfort that is moving in a particular direction. God the Father is the God of all comfort. You know, he's not, you know, the ultimate critical parent in the sky with hands and hips waiting for you to screw up. He's a God of all comfort. He knows how to come alongside and encourage us. He encourages us so that we can be comforted in the midst of our afflictions. You know, sometimes the afflictions that we go through, we go, "Oh, why is this happening to me?" We fail to realize that God is preparing us by allowing us to go through this affliction, by allowing us to endure in this affliction, so that we can get involved in the most effective form of ministry known to man. That is coming alongside somebody else who's in any affliction and look them in the eye and say, "Look, I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. I know you're confused. I know that this is just an unforeseen set of circumstances you can never imagine. But I've been there. And this is what God taught me." Man, I'll tell you what. When you can look someone in the eye and say, "I know what that feels like. I know what it is to struggle in that particular area." Boy, I want to tell you something. That is powerful, powerful ministry indeed. That's what God is equipping us for. Why is God setting your broken bones? Why is he mending your nets? Because he wants to use you. And he has people that you alone can minister to in the most effective way. And sometimes, as I said, I'll leave ministry to, you know, Pastor Scott or Pastor Bo. You know, they're the ones who are on staff. They're the ones who are here supposedly to minister to people. You know, if we did all of that, first of all, if we made ourselves so indispensable that we were the only ones who could minister to people, boy, I'll tell you what, that, not only would that be a disservice to you, it'd be a disservice to us. Remember back in Exodus chapter 18? Moses getting the people of Israel going, in the wilderness wanderings and all of this. His father-in-law Jethro shows up. Check up on the boy. See how he's doing. Well, lo and behold, you know, here's Moses and he comes out of the tent. There's a line of people around the block waiting for his input. They're waiting for his input. And Jethro, his father-in-law, goes, "You know, why are all these people waiting for you?" He goes, "Well, you know, I know the laws of God, and they come to me with their disputes, and I settle their disputes, and I teach them the law of God." And it's so interesting. Jethro looks at Moses and goes, "What you are doing is not good." "What do you mean it's not good? Look at these numbers. You know, what do you mean it's not good? I'm sharing God's word with people." But Jethro goes, No. "If you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out and the people with you. Here's what you do. Go out to the people of Israel, find faithful men, good reputation, fear God, and help and set them over the smaller disputes." And he created this structure that he shared with Moses, about people that would be in charge of thousands or hundreds or fifties. And then finally, he said, if any of these guys can't solve a particular problem, then have them bring it to you. And he goes, you do this, you're going to endure the people with you, and God will be with you. God will bless it. And Moses did that. Now, one of the real dangers that we get involved with in ministry is thinking it's a one-man show. Man, I got to make myself indispensable. I got to be the only one with the pearls of wisdom that people need. Well, once again, when that happens, that's a really dangerous place to be. If the pastor is the only one who can pray for you in a church, something's wrong. If a person on staff is the only one that you can go to and look for some wisdom and some guidance from the Scripture, well, then God's word is not being shared effectively. You know, one of the things that I tell those of us who are on staff and those who are in leadership, I say, man, you got to disciple, disciple, disciple. And what I mean by that is this: you got to be constantly working yourself out of a job. That's what you got to be doing. You got to be making yourself less and less essential and letting other people come alongside and help with the work, because that frees you to pursue new areas of vision. You know, and if you don't, I guarantee you, man, ministry, it's not for cowards. You know, getting involved with people's lives, it can eat you up in a big time hurry. Like Jethro said, it'll wear you out and the people with you. You know, no, notice why the people would be worn out. And nothing's more exhausting than sitting down with a pastor just kind of looks at you and goes, would you make it quick? I'm really tired. I've been talking to people all day. What do you want? That's not what I call great ministry. And if we're in that place, then we've got to revisit what we're doing in terms of ministry. Now, notice this equipping of the saints is for the work of ministry. God wants to use your life to come alongside how God's mended your broken bones, how God has mended your nets, the things that he has taught you. He wants you to have that one-on-one, look you in the eye, man, I know what that's like kind of experience. And God will set up your circumstances in life to make you absolutely qualified to be able to have that kind of ministry. And kind of like Moses' model, if you ever run into a situation where you're like that, where you're sharing with somebody and it just seems like it's all over your head, or man, this is too big, that's where church staff comes in. That's where we are there to be your backstop, to help you out. But having a church staff is not an excuse for getting involved in the work of the ministry. Now, notice the point of it all. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here we see this edifying of the body. Why does God do a work in your life? Why does God comfort us? Why does God give us an opportunity to be able to share there? Because God doesn't want you to be a spiritual sponge. God wants you to be a Christian conduit. He wants you to be a channel through which his love and his grace in his life can flow. And I guarantee you, if you become a spiritual sponge, this has happened to me before in life, you're soaking up, and you're soaking up, and you're soaking up. It's an occupational hazard, like when you're in seminary, when you're trying to, you know, take in all this stuff, like trying to get a drink of water through a fire hose. But if you don't have outflow along with input, you know, bad stuff starts happening. You know, the Scripture says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, and just knowledge, just becoming the master of scriptural trivial pursuit, is not what spiritual maturity is all about. It's learning how to effectively communicate with other people so that they are built up for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I love what Chuck Smith says in the Word for Today Study Bible on this subject. The Word for Today Study Bible, commenting on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Chuck wrote this: for years in the earlier part of my ministry, most of my sermons were evangelistic. It was only when I began a careful study of Ephesians that I came to the conclusion that the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. I had kept church members in a state of perpetual infancy by preaching the same basic sermons to them over and over again, until I discovered the real need in the church is a solid, systematic, expository teaching of the Scriptures. If I do my job, all those who listen and learn will then go out and evangelize and minister in many other ways, which will lead to the body of Christ being built up. It just works. I love that. What a beautiful philosophy of ministry. But understand something. You got to be in the body in order to allow the body to minister in its fullest and most beautiful sense of the term. You got to show up. You got to be around enough to get to know people, to get out of your comfort zone, to maybe extend yourself to other individuals that really need a hand, to have that big picture, if you will, vision of what's going on, saying, okay, God, use me before I leave to encourage somebody else. You know, some people believe they've successfully navigated the church if they make their way to a pastor like me before the end and get a little FaceTime. That's how they view church success. You know, and I get it. You know, there's sometimes you really just need to talk to the pastor and you need prayer, and that's what we're here for. Don't get me wrong. But the more mature in Christ you get, the less you should need that attaboy, that pat on the back. The more you should be looking around at other people, maybe someone sitting by themselves. You know, doesn't know anybody. You're going to be the one who builds a bridge. You're going to be the one who goes, how would I like to be treated if I was the person here who didn't know anybody else? You know, what can I do to build a bridge with that person? Maybe you see somebody and they're sitting there and, man, they just look like they've been run over by a truck. You know, they're just downcast and just looking kind of depressed and so on. You know, just to come up to them and say, hey, I noticed you're looking a little down. Is there something we can pray about? See, you don't have to have a PhD in psychology. You don't have to do a big analysis and get out your ink blots and say, well, what do you see here? What did you think about your mother? And things like that. And one of the most powerful forms of ministry is just coming alongside somebody else and praying for them. Just praying for them. Maybe that's the best form of ministry. Because here's the deal. You ain't their answer, and neither am I. Again, at Costa Mesa, one of our jobs was to be in the prayer room after the services. And like I said, you know, an incredible operation like that with so many people. We would have 250, 300 people in that prayer room after every service, especially the third service on Sunday morning, the last service there, and on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And we used to call it the MASH unit of ministry. Because you had people who were walking in there and they were just bleeding, just, you know, going through amazingly horrendous problems and so on. And I mean, there were so many, you know, you would just, you know, you get to one, okay, what do we need to pray about? And you'd figure out, okay, is this an individual that really needs, you know, this intensive time right now to kind of stop the bleeding? Or is it something where you can pray for them and just say, well, I encourage you, you know, set up an appointment, come on and we can talk further about all this. You learn to do that. And man, it was like dizzying after a while. Just all of this ministry so coming at you so fast and furious. And one time after one of our particularly intense nights, I remember standing there and Dale Dickinson, who was the head counselor on staff at that time, he ended up going and starting a church in El Cajon. Calvary Chapel there. Dale and Kathy Dickens, wonderful, wonderful people. But Dale's got a lot of wisdom. And man, after we got done, it was like about 10:45 or something like that at night. And I just looked at him and I said, man, Dale, how do you deal with all this week after week? And I mean, all of these needs all at once. And Dale smiled at me and he said, the most important thing you'll ever remember is this. You're not their answer. Jesus is. Jesus is their answer. Jesus is the one that they need. Let me ask you a question. Are you qualified to point somebody to Jesus? Are you qualified to pray to someone in the name of Jesus and help lighten their loads and their burdens in their life? Do you care enough? Do you have the love enough? And maybe disengaging from self enough to say, you know what? I need to be that person that doesn't wait for a ministry encounter just to necessarily come up. I'm gonna get out of my comfort zone. I'm gonna introduce myself to somebody I don't know. I'm gonna pray for them. And if something's real heavy duty or something's over your head, then understand you always got a backstop. You've always got, you know, the prayer team that's up front here and the pastors, and we love to be able to come along and help. But get in the game. Nothing more exciting than God using little old you and little old me to change a life. Nothing will give you more perspective about the struggles and the problems that you're having than not just see them as something to be endured. You got to get through this. And yada, yada. You're going through this so that you can have compassion on somebody else. You're going through what you're going through maybe because God wants to humble you and make you realize you got nowhere else to go but Jesus. And when you get to that place where you got nowhere else to go but Jesus, and you taste and see that the Lord is good, you allow the Lord to give you a track record of His encouragement within your life, well, then you're going to be able to come alongside, equip people for the work of the ministry, and what a joy, the product of all this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Equipping of the saints, God mending your bones, again, fixing your nets. Come alongside and giving you a vision to share with someone else. But here's the most beautiful payoff. When I see somebody get it, when I see someone becoming more and more like Jesus than they were, you know, 5 months ago, when I see somebody realizing, maybe for the first time, that God can really use them, and they're excited about it, that's when ministry gets exciting. Father, we thank you that we've had this opportunity tonight to look at your word and what the fundamental piece of the puzzle is regarding your word. What it means for us to be those that receive from you so that we can relate your love to others. Lord, we've talked about these gifted people that you've brought to the body. We thank you for these individuals that have invested in us. But perhaps the single best way that we can say thank you and thank them for the impact they made on their lives, our lives, is this. We do the same for somebody else. We come alongside and just from that focus on the love of Jesus and that focus on you, Jesus, the lover of our souls, focusing people back in, helping them to see above and beyond the horizon of their horrendous problems to a greater and heavenly perspective in life. Lightening the load, easing the burden. Oh God, if we do that, then it's enough for us. And I think that's going to be something that is pleasing and beautiful in sight. Tonight, please give to those individuals whose hearts are open to you that vision beyond the same old routine, hanging with the same people, talking about the same things. Help them to know the excitement and adventure of being filled with your Holy Spirit, focused on the person of Jesus, a person with a story to tell, an encouragement to offer, a life, an appointment divine where people can actually be changed as a result of what you've done in us. Thank you for using such flawed and funky people in such a high and holy calling. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292 292-9661. 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.